Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
No white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey! Let's get it started. It's Friday.
Shout out MC Hammer.
Yeah, they're winning this thing.
Yeah, Warriors in six. I mean, Steiny's on the Rockets,
well,
apparently.
No. Yeah, let's do it differently. I'm going to say Warriors in four, Warriors in five, Warriors in six.
Okay, you're doing great.
Warriors in seven.
All right.
Rockets in four.
Okay, no, don't do this.
Rockets in five.
Knock it off.
Rockets in six.
Stop.
Rockets in seven.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Willard has won the bet.
Now we've got it. No matter what happens, we've got the clip. We got the clip. No, you know, you want to know why they're going to win this thing? I was thinking about this. And by the way, Steve Kerr joined us at 9:45 at night last night.
Right?
Very, very end of the show. We actually went later than we've ever gone before because we were enjoying talking to Steve, and then he couldn't hear us, and we had to reconnect with him, and all of these things were happening. If you got to hear it, great. If you didn't, we'll have it again for you today in exactly an hour, okay, in full, because there's a lot of what we think are interesting and important things in there because Steve, as always, he's just brilliant at this. I think he's very, very, he's very forthcoming. If you've got Kuminga questions, I really suggest you listen to this conversation. Because we went a few rounds with him on it, and he, you know, I think he explained it in a way to where I walked out of there and I went, I don't really think you can argue this anymore. But I know not everyone's going to agree with me on this, but I thought Steve was that clear with why they're doing what they're doing. Just that as an example. But there was one moment where I said, look, I know you're the coach of the Warriors. So you're not going to come out here and be like, yeah, we think we're better than the Rockets. I get it. The coach is only allowed to say nice things about the other team and how incredible they are.
And that's what you actually preemptively said before your question.
I said, but can we talk a little bit about the dynamic of this matchup that most people seem to think is the one that plays? You have a bunch of players who've done this a bunch of times, and they don't. They've got a bunch of 22-year-olds who will play their very, very first playoff game on Sunday night. And what I brought up to him was your brains. Like, you have to give me that there is an advantage for you with the brains that you guys collectively have, specifically in this matchup. And I thought his answer was really good, and I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I started thinking about, I think that's actually why I like the Warriors in these playoffs so much. And we'll play for you what he said here in just a second. But I started thinking about all the things we break down when there's a big playoff matchup in any sport. And we do it. We do it in X's and O's, and we do it in matchups. The Rockets can rebound, and the Warriors can't. And Steph can shoot, and the Rockets can't. And we do all of these physical matchup things. I think the mental side is what usually wins. Usually wins. Sure, Patrick Mahomes is great, but you know what else really helps? They've figured out how their right tackle can cheat. He gets to start blocking the defense before the ball snapped. Right? And all the things we've talked about with the officials, the Chiefs. How about the Philadelphia Eagles and the tush push? I don't think that's a physical advantage. I think they've figured something out in terms of smarts. And even if I went to the Los Angeles Dodgers last year, they overwhelm you with talent, but how'd they get all their talent? How'd they get it all? They got all their talent because they figured out a way to work the system that nobody else in baseball is doing, which is they figured out how to pay all of their salaries 50 years from now. I think the Warriors have a massive edge on the majority of the NBA because of their brains. If not, the physical side of their roster.
But it depends on who you face. And if you face the Lakers in the next round, they probably have, in their mind, the same amount of brains that the Warriors do. J.J. Redick is not as good as Steve Kerr. I get that. But depends on who you face off with. And in this matchup against the Rockets, one of the youngest teams in the association, you should have that edge. And will that edge really matter? Well, you would expect that it probably could and should. And if you look at all the teams that have won as a 7 or an 8 seed in the best of 7 era, all these teams won one or actually only one of the first 2 games on the road. And 3 of them lost game 1, and then they won game 2. And 3 of them won game 1, and then they lost game 2. So if you're the Warriors, you're looking at this as a 96-minute game. You're not looking at it as, we got to get game 1. You're thinking, we just need to split. If you split in Houston, well, you're in a great spot historically to pull off the upset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's maybe the answer to why, like, that little algorithm or word problem that we threw out on the crossover. Why are the Warriors favored so heavily to win the series, yet the game one winner usually wins the series, and the Rockets are favored to win game one? I think it's because the world, or at least Vegas, thinks the Warriors are more likely to be able to adjust to the Rockets than the Rockets are going to be to adjust the other way around. Like, wouldn't you argue that game one is bigger for the Rockets than it is for the Warriors?
Absolutely.
I would.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
No doubt.
So I think that's why. And I think that's a nod to the Warriors' experience and brain power.
Right. And I think it's a nod to the reality of what you're facing if you are the Rockets, because if the home team loses game one, well, now game two becomes somewhat of a must win. And if you look at the history of the NBA playoffs, teams that are down 0-2, they win 7% of the time. And if you're Houston and you're thinking about home court advantage, well, home court doesn't matter until game 7, really. And if you're down 0-2, game 7 is not going to happen. So if you're Houston and you know that Golden State's got the experience, then you need to win. You need to win both, realistically, if you're Houston. So I don't think, if you're at home for games 1 and 2, and if you're Houston, you're not thinking like, okay, a split. All we need is a split.
No, you have to have them both.
Which means game 1 is a must win.
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course, as is game two.
But if you're the Warriors, you're thinking, all we need to do is win one of these two.
Didn't the Warriors lose the first two against Sacramento 2 years ago? Weren't they down 0-2? Yeah, and they won the series. So, like, I even if the Warriors lose the first two, which I don't think they will, I would argue that they're still in it. But I'm with you. If the Warriors split, they're in great shape, and good God, if they win both games, 1-2, night, forget about it. Whole thing is totally over.
Yep.
I don't suggest that the Warriors lose the first two and try to come back, but I think they can because, as we always say, especially with young teams, like, each win as a series builds is harder to get, and the fourth one is the hardest to get.
Yep.
And so I have a very hard time believing that Houston's just going to run roughshod right through the Warriors. This is going to be a long-ish series if Houston is to win it, which means they're going to have to do it with the gravity of eliminating champions in a Game 6 or a Game 7 situation. Just my opinion, I don't think they're ready to do it. So for me, that's the matchup that is the key one when we look at this series. We'd love to hear what yours is. What's the matchup that to you is the one you're thinking about the most as we enter this weekend? 888-957-9570. It can be individuals. It can be team-wide. For me, it's the Warriors' brains against the brains of the Houston Rockets. If you've ever been a parent of a teenager, you do this. When they make their decisions, you're like, just remember, their brains are not fully formed yet. And that's who the Rockets are. And it's not a slight. There are wonderful teenagers out there, but their brains aren't fully formed yet. Houston Rockets, your brains are not fully formed yet. You're phenomenal at what you do. You won 52 games. I'm impressed, but your brains are not fully formed. And you're, in my opinion, you're going to need them. Here's what Steve Kerr said when we threw this idea at him.
I just think the brain power, the experience, the corporate knowledge, whatever you want to call it, of Steph, Dre, Loon, Jimmy obviously has been deep, deep in the playoffs, two finals trips, carrying his team, his Miami teams there. I feel like we have everything we need to go and win this first round series. We have the talent, we have the experience, but we know how good Houston is. They just came to our place last week and beat us, and so we've got a lot of respect for them, and we know we're going to have to play well to win.
So that last sentence was the obligatory I'm the head coach of the Warriors part. He said all the things he said, and then he went, and we know Houston's very good, and they came back here to Chase Center and beat us just a couple of weeks. That's where the coach speak stuff comes in, and you have to do that. Because you don't want to end up on a bulletin board. But the rest of what he said is what's on my mind. The Warriors, he even called it, what did he call it? Corporate know-how or something like that? Like corporate knowledge? Yeah. Yeah. I think the Warriors can outthink the Rockets.
Yeah, and that can matter. And ultimately, it comes down to basketball. And I do think that as you get deeper into the series, then the Rockets know-how, it grows. And I'm looking at their roster and the amount of playoff games that they've all played, and the biggest players on their team, Jalen Green, 0, Amen Thompson, 0, Şengün, 0, Jabari Smith, 0, and I'm adding up all of the playoff games of everybody on the roster, and I haven't gotten to Jeff Green yet, and I guess I'll throw him in there because he is a Rocket.
He's got a uniform. Yeah.
Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. These are guys who have actually played playoff games, but the most important Rockets are guys who are making their playoff debut.
So what do you think is the most important aspect or matchup of this series? We'll take your calls. You'll hear Steve Kerr in full at 3:15. We're sponsored by Honda of Vallejo. Your calls right now at 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Sorry about my dog. Hey, cut it out.
I don't know if we've met your dog yet, Steve.
Sounds like she's a stretch four. Got some size to her in that bark.
More of a backup point guard.
On 95.7 The Game.
Steve mentioned his dog yesterday.
Yeah.
When we were like, hey, Jimmy Butler likes Domino's and coffee. I want to make sure everyone knows that's the game Domino's, not the pizza. Not that there's anything wrong with the pizza, but I don't want to put
I'm gonna eat it.
Yeah, I don't want to put the wrong food in Jimmy's mouth. But when we said, "What's your Domino's and coffee when you get a few days off?" and he's like, "Just hanging out with the dog and the wife and food and let's watch a show." And so the dog made yet another appearance. You'll hear the conversation in full at 3:15.
Yeah, look forward to that and hearing it back again. And you know, Domino's and coffee for Jimmy and. Sometimes a trip to Dubai and the rest of it, and I'm being told that they flew to Houston today. So trying to get in a lot of
is that true?
I believe so.
Okay,
getting the work in now, and you know, get the flight in now, and that way you can assimilate and acclimate and be ready to go for Sunday.
What's your Domino's and coffee?
My Domino's and coffee, probably there's a game on my phone that I've been playing. It's I don't know if you're familiar with Retro Bowl.
Oh, I do know. Yeah, the kids have shown me Retro Bowl.
So from Retro Bowl, I've actually started to play a game called Retro Grand Slam, which is a tennis version of Retro Bowl. And it's, you know, it's tennis and you work your way through.
That is the most dibbly thing I've ever heard in my life. That's incredible.
You work your way through the schedule and, you know, you can either, you know, fly to Monaco and play or you can rest and, you know, you get a new racket and you get new this and new that. And so that's kind of been my thing. You know, playing that, and beyond that, it's probably betting on horse racing, animals riding animals, and we got the Derby coming up. So
do we?
Yeah,
first Saturday in May. Okay,
yeah. All the preps are done, and all the horses who will be there. Journalism will be your favorite, which you know, 20 horses going to post. So.
I hope they all survive.
Yep.
I hope they all survive.
That, but I mean, and you say that, and all of the animal rights activists who are. Outraged. If you think about the number of horse races that occur and the number of deaths that actually happen, it's pretty, pretty small.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be highfalutin and high and mighty or none of that. I kind of put animals over here and I don't know. It doesn't feel good to me. I'm not saying it shouldn't feel good to you.
Right.
Yeah, that's just me.
It's just, I don't want to get too deep into this because it's like, the ultimate for me in hypocrisy for people who like, I'm going to eat a steak, but I can't this with animals. I can't that with animals. And,
well, it's like betting and I know, I won't bet on the Little League World Series. The kids,
yeah, that's
the
different.
Kids. I don't even really enjoy watching it because it just, I don't know, man. It's just like, and so no judgment for anybody else.
Right.
Do what you want to do. Have a good time. Have a beer. It's Friday night.
It just
go crazy.
For me, it's all like a sliding scale of hypocrisy. How much of a hypocrite do you want to be?
Well, and I'm just telling you what feels good to me and what doesn't feel good to me.
I get it.
It's not hypocrisy because I'm not telling anybody else what to do.
Sure.
Like, I just don't particularly enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, fair.
It's like having four drinks in one night. I'm out.
Yeah.
You can have four drinks. I don't want to have four drinks in one night. Let's drink.
Yeah,
but just have one. Sometimes two. Not going to trade a headache for it. Not going to puke. We're not going to do this. That's just me. Anyway, let's go to Matt in San Rafael. Talking about what is the matchup that you think matters the most in this series. I think it's the Warriors' brains against the non-fully developed frontal cortexes of the Houston Rockets. Matt, what do you think? Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. The first thing I want to say is I'm glad Steven Adams is getting long in the tooth because he would be a problem for the Warriors if he was a Steven Adams that played for OKC. I think, the biggest issue or the thing I'm watching the most is how the refs are going to call the defenders who are defending Steph. If they're allowed to grab, hit, and I'm not saying that if the refs are against them or anything like that, but the way they call this series, if Steph gets a whistle, then I think that it's going to be really hard for Houston. The last time they played, they beat the crap out of Steph, and it was a real problem for the Warriors. So I think that how this game is officiated is going to really make a difference.
Matt, I certainly hear your point, and I'm with you, and I hear what you're trying to do by not saying, like, are the refs against the Warriors? Are they against the Rockets? I think officiating crews in any particular game set a tone. They set a tone by sort of, and this goes for the Warriors too. You know, like when we heard Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, talk about when the Warriors had been in Memphis a couple of weeks ago, Draymond Green was setting a lot of illegal screens, but this is what players do. They're like, I'm going to do this. Oh, you didn't call it? Okay, I'm going to give you a little more. Oh, you still didn't call it? I'm going to give you a little more. No different than a toddler who's like, how far can I push mom and dad before the top of their head flies off of their body and goes through the roof? So they're going to test the refs, and the refs have to set a tone of like what's allowable and what's not. And I'm kind of with Matt. If they do let it get really physical off the ball, that's an advantage for the Rockets.
No doubt. And that's going to be a game-to-game thing. And I'm sure not everybody realizes that every game is officiated by three different people.
Different crew, yeah.
It's not the same crew all series long. So you're going to catch a crew that's going to be more tolerant to physicality, and you're going to catch a crew that's going to be less tolerant. And this is where it's up to the players. And this is where, you know, you might have a point about the brain of a Warrior team. And I was just running the numbers on playoff experience, and the roster of the Rockets in totality has 247 career playoff games. And a lot of those are Steven Adams, and you've got a lot of that from Jeff Green. And if you go to the Warriors, you've got Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and Kevon. You've got a lot of guys who have almost 1,000 games of playoff experience. And so when you get into a playoff series, you get into a playoff game, you understand that this game might be officiated a certain way, and you have to react accordingly. And if it's a game where they're calling it tight, well, then Draymond Green and Kevon Looney are going to have to set really stationary, legitimate, solid picks. And if the game is not being called very tight, well, then now Amen Thompson's going to be able to grab Steph, and you're going to be able to set sloppy, loose picks and move on your screen. So you have to be able to adjust to what's going on.
You like numbers?
Sure.
Okay. Numbers are numbers. These are my numbers.
Numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers.
Okay, then this is going to support both Matt's point, my point, your point. Check this out. We know that Steph has only played against Houston Rockets three times this year. Three times Steph has played against the Rockets. The Warriors are 3-2 against the Rockets, but Steph is 1-2 against the Rockets. Okay. The game that was just a couple of weeks ago here at Chase Center, where the Rockets defeated the Warriors somewhat handily. Steph from the free throw line was? 0 for 0.
Yep.
All right. They lost to the Rockets, and I think this was the NBA Cup game, 91-90 back on December 11th. Steph from the free throw line was? 0 for 1.
Yep. He missed?
He missed.
Dude.
Made free throws in the two losses. None. Then they beat the Rockets 105-98 in the game that was right before the All-Star break. Jimmy Butler was on the team. They pretty handily won that game. They almost coughed it up late, but they were the dominator for the majority of that basketball game. Rockets had a weird lineup that night, sat some guys in the second half, what have you. But anyway, that night, Steph was 8 of 9 from the free throw line. So I think that Matt is on to something here, which is if you're going to allow people to beat each other up off the ball, that affects Steph Curry the most because it's his motion, it's his style, it's the way the Warriors try to get him open. And if you're allowed to just grab him and not let him go anyplace, and you're going to trip him up and beat him up and do all those things, and there's not going to be any call, well, that's going to give the Rockets a little extra piece in the game. But if you're going to call those things, Steph's going to parade to the free throw line a lot, you're probably going to lose. You're probably going to lose. So not the only marker, but I'm buying what Matt is saying. That is going to be a marker in each game.
It's a marker, and you can look at the game from the Warrior lens, and you're right to do so. But also, if you go back to that game you referenced, 91-90, where Steph Curry shot one free throw, the Warriors shot 9 free throws, Houston only shot 10. So it's not like it was slanted.
No, I think it was allowable.
When you talk about Alperen Şengün being a big physical player, it's not like that he was getting a bunch of calls and then the Warriors weren't.
Understand what I'm saying.
I totally understand what you're saying. It's not about Steph at all.
It's about what the refs want to allow. And if they're going to allow a physical game, and you know the phrases that we use, oh, they're letting them play.
Yep.
All right, if you let them play, I think the Rockets get an edge there. I think they get an edge. And it's interesting because there's sort of two competing things that I think we're used to in the playoffs. And so I don't know which one's going to win out. I do think they tend to, quote, let them play in the playoffs. What else do? They blow the whistle for superstars. So which one of those is going to win out? Are you going to let them play? That's advantage Rockets. Are you going to whistle for the superstars? Clearly an advantage for the Warriors.
Depends on how it's blown. And I'm looking at the first game that they played this year when Steph Curry did not play. And the Warriors had a 31-point lead against Houston. And Houston actually took the lead in the fourth quarter and went to overtime, and the Warriors won. And I'm just looking at the box score here. The Warriors shot 50 free throws. I'm going to say it again for effect. They shot 50 free throws. They only made 32.
Yeah, this is back when they were the worst free throw shooting team in the league.
They were dead last.
Yeah.
And this is a game without Steph Curry. Yep. You started TJD and Wiggs, and you also had Lindy Waters and Kyle Anderson who played, and they're not going to play in this series, I don't believe. Houston got called for 32 fouls. The Warriors got called for 22 fouls. Pods and Draymond each fouled out. It went to overtime, and that game was officiated the way you would think that it would favor the Warriors. Well, but in fact, because you couldn't make your free throws, it turned out to not be in their favor.
Although you could argue that for much of the game, it very much was in their favor. Hell, they built a 30-point lead.
Yeah, second quarter.
I know that they coughed it up.
Yep.
But again, I think that it's fair as we look to what's about to happen. I think it's fair for a Warrior fan to hope that the whistle is tighter and not looser. And I know how I'll process that, which is don't get mad if a couple of things get called on Draymond Green. That's okay. I want the officials to call the fouls when they see them, as opposed to being like, well, we'd like to let the players decide this. Well, what a weird phrase that is, because the players can decide it 100 different ways. And I don't think when people say, let's let the players decide this, that doesn't mean let's let Dylan Brooks throw Steph Curry into the second row and land in a popcorn box and not call it. That way the players are deciding it. No, it's not what you want. You want a tightly officiated series where physicality, not that you can't have some, but physicality when it is over the top is not allowed and rewarded. I think if you get that, more often than not, you're probably not going to get it 7 times. I don't know how many games they'll even be. But if you get that in 70 to 80% of the action over the next 2 weeks, I think that's a huge help to the Warriors.
depending on what the whistle is like for, and you mentioned it, Draymond Green, because he's the most important defensive player on the Warriors. Yep. And if he gets a couple of, you know, tightly called calls that go against him and now he's into foul trouble, that's going to hurt the Warriors. And I understand what you're saying about Steph Curry and freedom of movement and all the rest of it. And, you know, the game that you referenced where he had no free throws, that I think was way beyond the norm for NBA games that are officiated. And Houston
absurd.
Saw it and they acted accordingly.
Yeah.
They realized that these calls were not going to be made. And so they got even more physical with Steph and they took Steph right out of the game. And if that is going to be allowed, then the Warriors are going to have to find a way to adjust.
Yeah, well, I can't think that will be allowed. Maybe it will be. Maybe it will be once. Again, as you said, it's a different crew every time.
Yep.
But, I mean, look, I'm not an NBA conspiracy theorist. But I also know that the Rockets and Warriors are not the only two outlets that are preparing for this series. The NBA refs meet. They talk. The league talks. I don't think by any stretch the league is like, all right, playoffs are starting. Master plan. Ready? Let's go get Steph out of these playoffs. Let's get him off of the TV. Let's let everybody beat him up. Don't let him go wherever he wants to go. As long as Dillon Brooks can get inside the shorts of Steph Curry, then these ratings are going to be great. I don't think that's going to happen. Obviously. So I don't know the way it's going to be officiated, but as I break down and think about this series, I do think that this is going to more often than not be advantageous to the Warriors, because I don't think that the officials are going to walk into the house that Steph built and let Amen Thompson and Dillon Brooks beat him to hell, throw him up against the standard underneath the hoop, you know, butt bump him into a cameraman. Like, they're not going to do that. I don't think. I would hope not. Because as you just pointed out, this game 2 weeks ago, I came in the next day with face paint because they had done 3-1 in the gauntlet and I was happy.
Yeah.
But I also was not thrilled because of what I had watched the night before. That was ridiculous. That was absurd. We've all watched the highlights now of what's going on off the ball. Absurd. And the league is looking at that right now as they prepare for this series, for sure.
It depends on who the crew is and depends on what they decide they want to emphasize. But I will say this, to your point, Steph Curry, for his career in the regular season, is averaging 4.3 free throw attempts a game. In the playoffs, it's 5.3.
There you go.
And I know it's a smaller sample, although he's played about 170 playoff games, so it's not a tiny sample. But in the playoffs, he, and I'm going to assume that he plays largely the same way, he doesn't play a lot differently.
Probably
he doesn't go to the basket more in the playoffs.
More minutes, I would argue, though, could affect
probably
that.
Probably close, but
you know what I mean. Like, look at the way
37 minutes a game in the playoffs, and in the regular season, he's averaging about 35 minutes a game.
Okay.
So not a dramatic difference.
No, not. But in a small sample, not even just more minutes. More. It's kind of like the way they played the game against Memphis. Like, Steph and Jimmy, you get the ball. You get the ball on just like almost every possession. So that's all.
18 shots a game in the regular year, 20 shots a game in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so two additional shots, but I would argue, and I'd have to look at all the numbers, but I don't think that he's going to the basket anymore.
I don't know.
In the playoffs, he probably gets a little bit more of a whistle.
But yeah, probably. But I'm just thinking of things that could also affect those numbers a little bit. And Steph going to the free throw line is often not him going to the basket. It's stuff that's happening out at the top of the arc,
right,
and people
it's
are slapping
late
on
in the game when
exactly.
He, you know, when they have the lead and you get him the ball, and all that exists in the regular season as well. And of the two additional shots that he takes per game in the playoffs, 1.3 of those are threes. So in fact, he goes to the basket maybe even a little bit less in the postseason. But I do think what you're saying about him being a star, you're going to get a little bit more of a kinder whistle. Not that the league is going to meet with the refs and say, look, we need Steph and LeBron, guys. No matter what happens, we got to make sure that the Warriors win.
Definitely
not. But there's
not
a certain amount of a nudge. If it's close, like we saw with Pods. Pods goes up and blocks a shot, and it's a foul because you're a second-year player, and you're Pods.
Yeah.
If it's Draymond, it's a clean block.
Totally. I don't think there's, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe that the league sees what happens 2 weeks ago And they're like, look, what we don't want, I'm not saying, hey, guys, make sure you get Steph to the next round. What I am saying is, hey, guys, I tell you what we don't want becoming a national story with Stephen A. Smith tomorrow morning. We don't want on Monday morning Stephen A. and the rest of the NBA media freaking out with constant videos of Steph Curry being handcuffed by Rockets defenders, tripped, shoved, dragged, thrown, all of these. We do not want that video all over all the shows and a stat in a box score that says Steph went 0-for-0 from the free throw line. We don't want that. There's so many more eyeballs on playoff games. Nobody was paying attention to that game on Sunday night outside of this market. The Warriors had done what they needed to do that week. Yes, it was a national TV game, but it wasn't like everything was on the line. I look back at that now. There are a couple of losses at the end of this Warriors season I'm really thankful for. One of them is that one, because I think it sets the tone to swing the pendulum in the other direction. You beat him up. You never allowed him to the free throw line. It looked absurd, and that's now the backdrop for the start of this series. The other loss I'm really thankful for is the Clippers loss, because if you win that game, Steph and LeBron are playing tomorrow. But they lost that game, so now you get to play Alperen Şengün. Not that he's not good, but he's not LeBron. So I actually think those two losses, as nerve-wracking as this all was, it actually set the Warriors up for success to start these playoffs.
Yeah, and by success, you mean you're facing a Rocket team that you should be able to beat and you're favored to beat them. So absolutely, I agree with that part of it. And, you know, it just depends on who you end up getting as a crew, and we'll find out on Saturday. You can go to ref assignments, NBA ref assignments. They get released that day, usually in the morning, and so you can all find out for yourself what kind of a crew they're going to get. And I'll predict this. I don't know how many games will be in the series, but there'll be a game where it's called super tight, super loose, in 3 to 5, right in between.
Maybe.
And the game that you're referring to with the Rockets, I'm looking at how many fouls were called, and they only called in that game a total of 29 fouls for the entire game. And that's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
And if you look at the NBA ref stats, 29 is actually way below even the low for the majority of these refs. And so if you get a game like that, I agree with you that definitely favors Houston.
A lot of stuff going on today. So we can keep talking it out as we get ready for Warriors and Rockets, and ask you, what's the matchup that you really, really are thinking about and you think is the key as we get ready for this one? For me, it's the Warriors' brains against the Rockets' inexperience, for sure. Steve Kerr conversation in full coming up at 3:15. Our friend Ryan Hollins, longtime NBA journeyman who's now also an analyst for the Rockets, is going to join us at 4:15. And then, quite frankly, going to sprinkle in some other things that are going on as well, that with all of the Warrior stuff, obviously Giants off to a very good start. I don't know who knows this, but the 49ers have the 11th pick in 6 days. Brock Purdy has not signed. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and so we've got a little bit on that as well. Glad you're with us. We will continue to take your calls, 888-957-9570. The matchup that you think matters the most in this series, 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibbs.